Our catechism portion this evening, I'd like to read Lord's Day 50, which is found on page 62 in the Psalter hymnals, and reading question 125. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means. Do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And in regard with that, I'd like to read from John chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 41. Gospel of John chapter 6. Reading from verse 41. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the petition that we come to, the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer, moves us from glorifying God to, in terms of who he is, his being, his purposes, honoring him, to the care that we receive from his hands. The concerns that we have in this life, both physical and spiritual. And the prayer reminds us and teaches us by this petition, namely of asking God for our daily bread, of our dependence, our utter dependence on God. That we cannot do it ourselves. We are helpless in and of ourselves. And we don't need some advice from God. We don't need a little helping hand. And that's sufficient and we can do other things by ourselves. No, we're totally, totally dependent upon God. And so we're to understand that. We're to confess that. And we do that as we pray to Him, bringing these needs before Him and reminding ourselves not to take that responsibility to ourselves or to put our hope in somebody else to provide those things for us. We can't take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that provides us with redemption. We can't look to anyone else. So looking to anyone else is in vain. Not that God doesn't use means. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't look to our parents and that we should try and go it alone. But they are His channels. It all comes from His hands. And therefore, that is such an important truth for us to understand, because as soon as we take that responsibility onto ourselves, we burden ourselves. We're back to being burdened and heavy laden. We're back to being stressed out. We're back to having anxieties. But when we realize what God has provided for us, it doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean we don't use the means that God has provided. But underneath all of those efforts is that recognition that God is in control and that He has provided for all that we need. And we simply need to follow Him. We need to do as He says, and He will provide all the things that we need. God is not to be restricted either to simply taking care of, I would say simply, but of course that doesn't cut it, right? I mean, that very important part of our spiritual needs, that we only need Him for that, but when it comes to our daily life on earth, well, that's our responsibility. No, absolutely not. God is involved in that just as much as He is in our spiritual needs. Both are in His hands. He is not only the creator of the heavens and the earth, but He's also the one that brings that new creation in us spiritually. He's responsible for both. And we don't do Christians any favors if we don't stress both. And so all believers need to understand on both of those levels. And that's why our catechism addresses that, so that we see that it comes from His hands. I mean, it's like in our society. We get fed, but some kids or even adults don't even know where that food comes from. I mean, it's in the shops, but where does it come from? Right? It comes from God's hands, in the way that He's ordered this creation. And so we lose sight of that. We just think people make the food. And so we're dependent on people. But we don't realize that we're dependent on God. And when we have all the droughts and shortages, then it suddenly dawns on us that it's from God Himself. And so it's important to see that connection. As I said, even though those things are delivered by various means, but we can't forget that source. When we know who that source is, then there's confidence in us that He will always look after us and provide for our needs. Peter is very clear in saying that God has provided for our spiritual needs as well as our earthly needs. All of those God has taken into account. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes that clear in His ministry. He doesn't just teach spiritual truths. No, he teaches spiritual truths about our redemption, but He also takes care of the needs of people. He heals them. He has compassion on them. He feeds them. Right? I mean, to think, well, you know, they've been feeding themselves all week. They can find their own food. But no, He feeds them, just so that they may make that connection and understand that. So first of all, as we consider this topic of daily bread, let us understand, first of all, in terms of the spiritual aspect, that this is the bread of heaven. This is the bread of heaven. And by that, of course, we understand that this bread comes down to us from heaven. It's from God. Simply because we are involved, in terms of human beings, in the sowing of seed, in the watering of that seed, and waiting for the harvest to come, and then collecting that harvest, and doing things with that food, and preparing it, and providing it to the people, should not confuse us that it is coming from heaven itself. And nowhere is that more clear in terms of the spiritual aspects. Spiritually, there's nothing that we could grow. Spiritually, there's nothing that we could do. Spiritually, we couldn't manufacture things that would satisfy our spiritual needs. We had none of that. None at all. Even though man has tried to do so by providing himself with man-made religions, to provide some comfort for themselves because of this tension in their minds that there must be a God. But rather than submitting to him and recognizing him as he's made himself manifest in the creation, they invent gods that they can control. But they have that void. They need that. But they fill it with lies. Substitute the true God for their idols. But God has provided us with that bread. He's given it to us. He's not left us in this world without hope, ignorant, groping around in the dark. I mean, that's where we got by turning our backs upon him and rejecting his word. That's where we ended up, in darkness, being blind. But it wasn't any fault of his. It's not that he didn't make it known. It's not that he didn't reveal these things. He absolutely did. The Jews, of course, had taken the things that God had provided in the Old Testament and took that to be the actual fulfillment. And so they always looked to the Old Testament. Oh, Moses provided us with bread, with manna. And Jesus has to remind them that, no, it wasn't. Just like many things in the Old Testament, they were symbolic. They're pointing to something else. But certainly, they did communicate that truth that is from heaven. Because that's where that bread came. In the wilderness. They didn't grow it. They didn't water it. They didn't harvest it. It came down from heaven. They simply went and took that bread, but only a day's supply, lest they put their trust in their storehouses where they would put it. No, they have to look daily to God. And it, instead of being fixated on Moses, they should be lifting their eyes to heaven, to God, who provides them with this wonderful blessing, that spiritual bread, that nothing on earth can be substituted for it. Even as Isaiah said, why do you waste your time in seeking things from this earth that this earth cannot satisfy? It cannot provide you with that. There's nothing in this world that can provide for our spiritual needs. And so we waste our time. It's chasing after the wind. And so God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Come to me. I will provide it. And you don't have to buy it from me. I mean, you couldn't. The price is way too high. There is no price on it. There is no price on his son, of course. But even though it's so valuable, as the scripture says, he didn't redeem us with precious things like silver and gold, but with his precious blood. No, you can't buy it. but I will give it to you. Really. No, it comes from God. We have to humble ourselves before Him. We have to see our need to be fed from His hands, to have Him provide for all that we need in terms of our spiritual lives. But not only that it's from God, because even people in the world would come to that understanding. They don't know who that God is, but they do confess that these things that they have in terms of food and everything else comes to us from God. But as I said, they don't know who that God is. And so they fall short. They don't identify with any clarity that this bread from heaven is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to have this vague notion that God provides us with things and not recognize where that is, where that bread is, isn't really helpful. I mean, then they are groping around. They know there's some answer out there, but they don't know where it is. They're in ignorance because of the unbelief in their hearts. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has to impress that upon them. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. You put your trust in other people. You look to Moses. You look to Abraham. You look to the law. You look to the Old Testament and the sacrifices. But you're missing the point. They all speak about me. They all point to me. That's what Jesus said to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. They're all disappointed about what had happened in the last few days in Jerusalem, namely the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're disappointed. Were their minds going back to the Old Testament then? Well, Jesus did take them back to the Old Testament, and He did take them back to the prophets, and He explained to them that they were all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, what had occurred a couple of days before was a fulfillment of everything that God had promised in the Old Testament. Why were they sad about it? Yes, we can understand the sadness in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if they understood what that death meant, then they would have celebrated, would have thanked God, instead of being confused and dejected about what had happened. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as I say in this passage that we have read, repeatedly draws attention to Himself. And they understood that. Because in verse 34 they said, then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. He's speaking about this bread, and they said, well, give us this bread. Clearly didn't understand what He was saying. I am the bread. No, we can't look to others. Religious leaders as they may be, we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see that in Him we have all that we need for life and godliness. And so we need never to take our eyes off Him. Spiritual life is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever we may have in terms of being part of the church, part of the fellowship, the friendships that we have, whatever we have falls short if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I was saying this morning, our mission is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did and what He taught. They have to come to Him. They have to have a relationship with Him. Relationship with us is wonderful and with the church is wonderful. But not if it doesn't include, primarily, most important of all, the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us has to see that our hope is in Him. And that's why Hebrews says, that we're to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so it's to him that we turn your attention. It's to him that calls you in Isaiah 53. Come to him. Come to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall have rest unto your souls. I will provide everything that you need. But not only is it from God, from heaven, not only is this bread in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in his life and death. There are people that would go and accept what we said in terms of from heaven. They would accept that it's in Christ. But they stumble at this one. They stumble at this one. Because they don't understand what salvation is. They don't understand what the problem is. They don't understand how serious sin is. And how the scriptures view sin and how God views sin. They minimize the human condition, sinful condition. They don't see it as so terrible as God sees it. And so the idea that God would punish our sin in such a drastic way of putting his son to death on the cross, they cannot accept it. They won't accept it. They don't mind the things that Jesus says, the Bible, but this notion of a God that is angry with sin, a God that punishes sin, and on the cross that it was God, the Father, punishing his Son, now they stumble at that. And so they stumble in a very fatal way. Because as Jesus says to the Jewish leaders in no uncertain words, no, you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood. There is no other way of salvation. You don't need advice. You don't need just me to correct certain things that you don't understand from the Old Testament. No, no, no. You need me. I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You don't understand sin unless you understand what my dying on the cross means. What my words mean. As we looked at Easter, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How do these people explain those words? How do they explain that God did not spare his only begotten Son but gave him up for us all? How do they understand Isaiah 53 and what the Father brings upon his Son? Rejecting him, bruising him. All for our sin. The people of God, that's what we have to understand. Jesus is our bread from heaven. And through him, we have forgiveness of sins. And peace with God. And only through him. Only through him. And so, as I said, we can have a real love for the church. We can have a real love for the people in the church. And we might, they may come faithfully every week. But association with God's people is not enough. It's not enough. No, we individually have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Each and every one of us has to be invested and believe with all of our hearts that what he did on the cross was absolutely necessary, and he did it for me, and he bore the wrath of God for my sins in his body. And it's through that that we have peace with God and the assurance of eternal life. I mean, that's the way Paul puts it in Ephesians. At one time, we were aliens and strangers to the commonwealth, to the kingdom of God. We were far away, removed. We couldn't come close to God. But it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, brought us near through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. is only by his sacrifice that you have any standing before God. That you're given the right to be called the child of God. To be a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ of God's kingdom. All of that comes because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have thought about and thank God for over this period of our celebration of Easter. No, he is our bread. And how is it that we eat him? I mean, the Jews were confused. I mean, you know, we don't quite understand what he's saying. I mean, he's saying that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And so that's an obnoxious idea. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. Shows how inadequate they were in understanding what Jesus was saying in terms of using these symbols. These were experts, as it were, but they couldn't make that connection. They couldn't understand. But our confessions make it very clear. The Catechism makes it clear. And so does the form when we celebrate the Lord's Supper makes it clear. It's not the physical eating of the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we don't do. We can't do. We weren't there. So how is it that we eat the real flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ and drink his real blood? How do we do that? Well, the form tells us we do it by faith. We do it by faith. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who came down, took human nature to be the Messiah and to be our Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Our participation in what he did, our owning what he did, is by faith to appropriate to ourselves through the working of God's Holy Spirit all that that means, and embracing the benefits of that. That's what it means. So no, it's not the real... I mean, after all, Jesus made that point very clear, didn't he? In another situation, where the Pharisees were complaining that they didn't wash their hands, and so they were eating, and things were going in. And Jesus said, "What? I mean, think about it. You eat stuff, and it goes through the body. It doesn't go through the heart, does it? I mean, not physical heart, of course, you understand. I mean, it doesn't change who we are. It has no effect on our spiritual life. No, it just goes through the body, provides us with physical nourishment. So how ludicrous to think that spiritual things are affected in us simply by what we eat. He didn't mean that at all. You have to believe in him. You have to see that he did that for us. And so it's by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in all that he said and did as our sacrifice. And when we do that, then we have the blessings that God's word speaks about to all God's people. People of God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing. We have nothing. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's where all the blessings are tied up, in his Son. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel that focuses your mind and heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where it needs to be focused. Also, he provides us with bread for the earth, bread for this life. We've been blessed by God for everything that we need, for life and godliness, spiritually, we might say, and physically. He cares for us. He watches out for our needs. He provides all that we need in terms of rain and sunshine and the earth and the way that he has created it so that it provides for our needs. And it's absolutely amazing in terms of God's creation that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, this earth, the way that God created it, provides us with food, ample food. And we've multiplied by great amounts. I mean, what is it now? We're about 7 billion people on earth. 7 billion people. Can you imagine? And God feeds them every day, not just one meal a day, but multiple meals a day. That's the way God has taken care of this world. It didn't happen just by chance. It happened by God's providence. He cares for your needs. And so we have to see that also. And we have to thank him for that. So when we eat, we're reminded, as so many truths come that way to us in the scriptures, that we move from the earthly examples that we see, and through them, by faith, and through the word of God, we see the spiritual dimensions. And so we see that here. That God has provided for our physical needs should make it clear to us that God certainly has provided for our spiritual needs. I mean, if God takes care of us in this way and provides such wonderful things for us, then he wouldn't leave us spiritually bereft. Absolutely not. God has wonderfully provided for that. And so even in the sinful mind, just like with the creation, they ought to be able to make those deductions and seek after him. They don't. They think it's just because of their expertise and they can take care of themselves. Thank you very much. And there they go, living a meaningless life. But no, God provides for that. And the Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear in his ministry. As I said, he didn't just hold conferences and say, well, you take care of your own needs. I mean, he fed them 4,000 one time, 5,000 another time. I mean, what a tremendous amount of food. He cared about their needs. The disciples' attitude was, well, let's just have a lunch break. Let them go and get food for themselves. And Jesus said, well, you give them that. And that was overwhelming to them. But it's not overwhelming for God to feed the whole world, as he does, day by day. And even more so, that not only does he feed them, but he feeds the righteous and the unrighteous. I mean, talk about the graciousness of God, the benevolence of God. No wonder when he tells us to pray for our enemies, and when they're hungry, give them food, and when they're thirsty, give them drink. He has provided an example of doing that himself. So we have problems in relating to the unbelievers and have a kind of a standoffish kind of attitude and not a loving one. Then we need to go back and say, how does my God deal with the world? He provides them with food. So how much more his own children? How much more his own children? How much more you? Are you not more precious than they? I mean, Jesus makes that connection, doesn't he, with the animals. He said, well, look, you know, here's a bird and insignificant, a small, and but the Father knows when each one of them falls. And look at the flowers, how God dresses the flowers that last for only a short while, but nevertheless He has created him in such a wonderful way. And the stinger is in that last phrase that Lord Jesus Christ says, are you not more precious than they? Of course we are. Of course we are. No, God cares for us. He has provided for what we need day by day. But as I said, he gives us avenues. So we're not to promote laziness from that. We're not to say, well, you know, I'm the Son of God himself, you know, not capital S, of course, and therefore all of these things are provided, I don't have to do anything. No, that would be a terrible mistake. So there are avenues that God has provided, but avenues that he has created. They don't just happen themselves. It's not just happenstance. It's not some evolutionary result that when you put seed in the ground, they grow. No. That's the way God created the world, because he was providing a world that would meet our needs. And so we're to thank God for them. We're to see his hands. We're to see his fingerprints on all the avenues in terms of nature. We're not to despise work. We're not to say, oh, I don't want to work. No, these are ways for us to embrace the things that God has freely given to us. The work ought not to be something that we reject, but something that we're encouraged to do. I mean, I guess God could have made it that trees just took care of themselves and the fields just automatically gave a harvest at the right time. We didn't have to do anything, don't have to dig, don't have to sow. It just happened by itself. But no, God didn't choose that. God created us to work. And he's provided things that respond to that work. And so the scriptures are very adamant on that. The people that don't want to work and just sit back and do nothing. No, God doesn't encourage laziness. So we are to be hardworking. But never fix our eyes on that. Never think, oh, I'm strong. I can do it myself, as though I don't need God. No, we do. Because without him, none of those things would provide the things that we need. Of course, God is able to do things by miracles. But we're not to look for miracles and not do anything that God has instructed us in his word. No, God has the power to do all of these things. God has shown his power so that we might always look to him and not look to other people. But we're not to force God's hands. We're not to wait for him and say, oh, you have to do it miraculously and I don't have to do anything. No, God created Adam and Eve to till the ground, to take care of this earth. Because he had prepared it so that it would respond to their efforts. And he would bless them. And the people of God, the Israelites, were to see in the harvests God's approval and blessings. And so when they disobeyed God, then he would withhold rain, he would withhold harvest, as a reminder to them that they were going astray and they weren't looking to him and they weren't being faithful to him, to bring them back to their senses, as it were. And they understood that. And so they would come to God and they would repent and he would send them the blessings that they needed. So it was a correction on their part. No, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ covers both. And that's why we're taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. So you can understand what tendencies we have to take that for granted, to forget about it, and just to move on. That God teaches us that when you pray to me, I want you to pray that. I want to remind you of that. That your daily bread comes from me. And it's not that I want you to beg and grovel on the ground as though I'm reluctant to give it, and so I want you to do that, and only then that you will get it. No, he's put this request in the Lord's Prayer that we would always be reminded of that and find comfort in that. that God does care for my needs. And I'm to ask him, just so that it may be imprinted in my mind where it comes from. Yes, we'll have to work and earn a living, but let us never forget that it comes from God's gracious hands. People of God, our life ought to be seen as intricately woven with God. And we are dependent on him for everything. Without him, we can do nothing. And so we need to nurture that relationship. We need to be reminding ourselves every day through the Lord's Prayer that in him we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. And as long as we keep our eyes and hopes fixed on him, then all will be well with our soul. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed at the lengths that you have gone for our well-being. And this world that we live in, and when we sit and just think for a moment the way that you created it, the lavishness that we see, the luxury that we see all around us, and the food that you provide, is that it's so varied. Now, Father in heaven, we are truly blown away that you care for us to such an extent. But our Father in heaven, that pales into insignificance when we consider what you have provided for us spiritually. That we never dreamed of. That we can find hard to believe that you would do such a thing, that you would go to the point of forsaking your own son for our sins, to bring us into fellowship with you through his shed blood. Our Father in heaven, we pray that that truth may never become old, that we may never take that for granted, but rather, our Father, that that truth may always, always melt our hearts in gratitude and humility. And our Father, now we pray that as we go forth into another week, we might be reminded of what you have already prepared for us, that you have ready things that we need in this life, and also, our Father, protection from the evil one by that anchor for our souls, which is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us, your people, as we go forth. Go with us, protect us, lead us as a good shepherd. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from Blue Hymnal number 407.